You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Coming up on the SBS On The Money podcast, the jobless rate falls to 4.1%. The Australian dollar rises as a result, and we take a look at the opportunities for investors in 2026. All of that and more next. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Thursday, the 22nd of January 2026, a day where the Australian share market rose, the S&P ASX 200 up 0.8%. We'll have the details with Adam Dawes from Shaw and Partners in a few moments. But first, to some economic news, where the Bureau of Stats says the December unemployment rate fell from 4.3% to 4.1%. It means it ended 2025 where it started. More than 65,000 jobs were created last month, pushing the total number of people employed to a record 14.68 million. And it may suggest the jobs market is actually tightening instead of loosening and may have implications for interest rates. To explain, I spoke with Jonathan McMenamin, a senior economist at Barrenjoey. Jonathan, the strength in the jobs numbers, do they surprise you? Is the market actually tightening and not easing? And what does it say about the economy?
Yeah, it's a good question. So to some degree, this is a surprise to ourselves and to economists out there. The market consensus was actually for the unemployment rate to rise from 4.3% to 4.4%. But obviously, we've gotten this fall down to 4.1. So to that degree, it is a surprise to people. I suppose if we look at the broader fundamentals, though, the economy is improving and economic growth picking up is a really good sign for the labour market, particularly the unemployment rate sort of trending down in that sort of environment. So maybe it shouldn't be as much of a surprise as it is, but it clearly does show some tightening occurring there.
When you look at what happened in December, 65,000 jobs created, but that youth unemployment rate down from 10% to 9.1%. So aren't these all just Christmas jobs?
There's a possibility that that they are just Christmas-related jobs, but the ABS tries to do is they seasonally adjust for these outcomes. So typically you would see a large increase in Christmas jobs, and what the ABS does is adjust for that typical increase in jobs amongst young people. And so maybe there's a chance that this Christmas is stronger than prior Christmases, and that's what's driven that decline in the youth unemployment rate. If that is the case, then what it does tell us is that clearly we're in a stronger environment than we have been in prior years. And this is actually a real tightening in the labour market.
What about though forward-looking indicators of the jobs market? You know, in particular, job vacancies, for example. What are businesses saying about their future hiring intentions? Anything there that suggests a possible slowdown?
So when we look across a bunch of the leading indicators in this space, job ads have been a little softer than we probably anticipated. But what has held up and what has continued to surprise us to the upside has been vacancies. So there is a little bit of a difference there between ads and vacancies. Maybe people aren't listing the ads as much and they're relying more on word of mouth, or maybe sort of street signage in this example. So vacancies are remaining pretty high. We'd say that they're historically elevated. It is consistent with a labour market that should remain pretty strong for some time. And we wouldn't expect a fast deterioration to really occur in the labour market anytime soon off the back of that.
And just finally, I know we've got the CPI numbers to come before the RBA meeting, and that'll be crucial. But to what extent do these jobs numbers increase the chance of an interest rate rise in February, and why?
Yeah, so our base case is that there will be a rate rise in February, and that came prior to this data. I think if we look at this data by itself, it is a bit volatile, right? We have seen a 20 basis point drop in the unemployment rate in 1 month. That is typically very large, and it can come with a reversal in the following month. So I don't think the data in this individual month alone will be the driver of the RBA hiking in early February. What they're going to look at is the whole picture. And what this data does tell you is that there's really not a major threat that the labour market is deteriorating quickly here. And in fact, it just reinforces the point that maybe the labour market is in solid shape, and there is maybe the possibility that is tightening in a trend sense over time. So it obviously contributes to the possibility of a rate rise in February. It helps our view that they will hike in February, but I don't think this is the smoking gun. What is really important is the inflation print next week.
That's Jonathan McManaman joining us there from Barrenjoey. The Australian dollar did climb after the jobs data to above 68 US cents. The Australian share market also rose. The S&P ASX 200 up 0.8%, 8,848 points by the close. 9 of the 11 sectors on the index finished higher. Energy, the best performer by far, up by around 3%. Consumer discretionary stocks, utilities and financials also doing well. The worst performers include materials, with many of those gold producers which have done well over the past couple of trading sessions giving back some of those gains today, and information technology. The worst performer on the 200 today was Pantoro Gold. It shares down by 11.2%. Vault Minerals off by 9.8%. And then again, some of those other gold stocks, Emerald Resources down by 8.6%, Northern Star off by 8.4%, and Regis Resources rounding out the bottom half, or the bottom five on the S&P ASX 200. The best performer today, though, was Premier Investments, shares up by almost 10%, Drone Shield adding 9.4%, Mesoblast 6.8% higher, Beach Energy 5.7% firmer, and the A2 Milk Company adding 5.5%. For a closer look at the day's market action, I spoke with Adam Dawes, Senior Investment Analyst at Shaw & Partners. So Adam, is Australia on the verge of an interest rate hike in February following these jobs numbers? What's the market thinking? Because the Australian dollar jumped to a 15-month high against the US.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Ricardo. It certainly looks like the numbers are printing quite well for a potential rate hike in February. The market actually reacted quite quickly to it. It lifted its implied volatility, which is the VIX, which is sort of showing that that volatility is coming. But really what is happening is we're going to be looking at that CPI number, which is on the 28th of January, and that's really what the market's going to be reacting to.
To what extent did investors breathe a sigh of relief after Donald Trump dialed down his threats of European tariffs and taking Greenland by force? Because he does have this tendency to back down. We've heard of this term TARCO before, this TARCO history. Trump always chickens out, and it appears to have happened again.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it was Iceland he was wanting to take over more than Greenland, but that was the joke of the day. But markets did have a bit of a sigh of relief, and we saw gold pulling off, coming back down, while equity markets or global markets rallied. So that's really showing you that there is that sigh of relief that potentially there is going to be no issues to take over Greenland, or potentially he's pulling that back. So yeah, it was a good result for overnight markets, and that's flown through to our market today.
You mentioned that gold price pulling back, precious metals. I mean, they've really rallied quite hard recently. What's your take?
My take is this is a fantastic pause in amidst a continuing bull market within the commodities, as well as gold, silver, as well as most other precious metals, copper, those kinds of things. I think with the continuing of Trump, and as long as Trump's in power, gold will stay high due to the fact that there is so much uneasiness around, and gold is seen as that defensive metal or good defensive area. So I'm really comfortable. I think that gold will continue to rally, but it certainly has taken a bit of a breather after those geopolitical pressures have eased.
And so given those easing in those geopolitical issues, the unemployment numbers coming in better than expected, how did all of this play out on the share market today?
Yeah, it was a bit of a tug of war, obviously, with the global side, plus what we're thinking the RBA is going to do. The market has taken all of that on board, and it has rallied today. But we have seen a lot of selling in the gold stocks and a lot of the material stocks. But then there's lots of buying in the banks, healthcare, as well as consumer discretionary stories. So market has taken it with a bit of a grain of salt, and it's fantastic to see that we can stand on our own two feet.
And what are you telling your clients right now? And as we head into 2026, where do you see the opportunities for investors?
I think what I'm saying to clients now is don't panic. That's the first thing, because there is a lot of concern out there of what is going to happen in the globe. But it's basically getting clients to look at good businesses with good cash flow, good cash balances, and then margins that they can then use to expand. And that's where we're sort of investing in that sort of blue chip area. And I think the opportunities are very much in that blue chip space, where you can actually find some really good stocks that have been beaten down unfairly, especially in the tech sector, that I think they've been oversold, and there's certainly some value there. So we're doing some value hunting at the moment for clients, and hopefully that will pay large dividends close to the end of this year.
That's Adam Dawes there from Shaw and Partners, and he wraps the podcast for this Thursday. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and I'll see you tomorrow.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. Content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.